Hallelujah.
Thou art worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And worship been wonderful these 2 weeks.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. By the under the direction of the Jones family. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. We appreciate your dedication to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I'd like for Brother and Sister Jones Sr., if you would come and stand right here. They asked me if I'd ordained them. And I said, yeah, by the permission of your pastor. And they have licensed them. And then I talked to Pastor Leketiket, and he said that was good to him too. And Pastor Stellman, and he said it was good with him. He had felt good about it. So that's what we're going to do. They got all their applications in and everything, so they'll be getting that in the mail. But I want you to just stand right here, if you would, just right about here, if you would, both of you. Praise God. And Pastor Stallman, if you would come and stand right here. And Pastor Leketiket, if you would stand here. You know, I take this very serious. If you'd stand next to him, if you would, right there. I take this very, this is, you know, what an honor to be in the ministry. I pinch myself almost every day thinking, look what God has done in my life. Because I became obedient to clean the toilets in the church. It's a great honor. I don't like people saying, well, because of the ministry, this happened, that happened. It wasn't the ministry. You just didn't do it right. It's an honor. I said it's an honor. Well, the ministry caused us to have a divorce. The ministry never caused any. It's light and easy if you do it right.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So I'm gonna charge the both of you, and I am honored to receive you and be one of the oversights in your lives besides your pastor and the bishop. So I'm gonna read out of 2 Timothy 4:1-5. I charge you in the presence of God, of Jesus Christ, who is the judge and the living and the dead, and by the light of his coming and his kingdom. Herald, preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by. Be at hand. Be ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. I think I've had it unfavorable many times. Hallelujah. Whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as preachers of the word are to show the people in what way their lives are wrong. Now that's a switch. That's Timothy. I said that's Timothy. The newfangled church today said, oh, we don't want to talk about anything like that. But this is what the Bible says. Hallelujah. A wonderful preacher, and he's here tonight. And he was telling me that at lunch today how one preacher says the word of God is not relevant for today. Not relevant for today. It's twisted. Here he's charging us, hallelujah, to convince them. Rebuking, correcting, warning, urging, encouraging them, being unflagged and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound, wholesome instruction. We see that today. We see that in the we see that in the ministry that people have backed off. But having ears itchy for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number. We see that today. There's your three kinds of dirt. Hallelujah. Here, way back, he's telling, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off in the myths of man-made factions. This is a charge for us to preach the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And as for you two, be calm, be cool, steady. This is the Amplified. Accept, suffer every hardship. Do not do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all your duties of the ministry. 1 Timothy 4:14-16. Do not neglect that gift which is in you. That ain't God. He's telling you, you don't neglect it. You watch over it. And never let anybody put that gift that is inside of you down in any form of honor it. Esteem it. Your call on your life. Hallelujah. Do not neglect that gift which is in you. That special inward endowment. Oh, do you have, both of you have it. Which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Ghost, by prophetic utterance, when the elders laid their hands upon you at that ordination. Patience, cultivate, meditate upon these duties. He's talking to us, preachers. He's telling us not to compromise the Word of God. He's charging us to preach the gospel. And don't give in to what's in the world today. Hallelujah. Practice, cultivate, meditate on these duties. Throw yourself wholly unto them as your ministry, so that your progress may be evident to everybody. Hallelujah. Look well to yourself, to your own personality, and to your teaching, and preserve those things. Hold to them, for by so doing, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. Wow. This is Bible. This is out of the Bible. This wasn't made up by me. Hallelujah. Highly esteem the mantle that is on your life. Watch over it. Cultivate it. Get hooked up with those that God put into you that they can impart, for you can go on and finish everything that you have. Glory to God. I already preached myself happy. Hallelujah. Pastor Nancy, if you would come, I'm going to lay hands and bless you. You're already called. I'm not calling you, but I'm just solidifying what God has already done in your life. So as men of God, if you men would come and Pastor Nancy, and we'll lay hands on you, I command you, be blessed in Jesus' name. I command you, be blessed in Jesus' name. And this is what the Holy Ghost would say to both of you. Shoda bahati, glingi bango tahaha, ushuku tatara mahataya, gundi shipu, imoka kola papuya, legiki masotoya makiti.
God has been spending in previous years time to impart. He has been sowing things into your spirit, and it's for this era. You are assigned to this era to bring the flow and to help bring the flow into the congregation of the people's lives of what God has for them in this era. So know this, that as you stay with the flow of this era, there will be a flow of benefit and blessing that will come back to you.
And
and there are impartations that are to come. They're in your future. So as you stay faithful, those impartations will come and flow into you, and it will not only enhance you, but it will enhance those who hear you.
Let's thank the Lord for these wonderful gifts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If you would open your Bibles to Mark 11, pick up on the subject of faith, which is lacking in most churches today, I'm sorry to say. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Man, I just reading out of Timothy. Charge me, praise God, to not to compromise. Hallelujah. Today's in modernistic gospel, it says don't show them where they're wrong. Just let them know everything's all right with you. And when you tell them that, you're a liar. Amen. Glory be to God. Of course we love them. Of course we love them. But praise God, if you love them, you'll give them the truth that will help them. Praise God. To live long on this earth and perform their piece of cracker like I brought out. The piece of the body of Christ. And for them to finish what God has called for them instead of just being chair sitters.
Come on now. Amen.
And entertain them. Holy Ghost music. Dignified. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. My wife, she said something, because she says a lot of things. But if you wouldn't hear, get the tape. But she, you know, I preached the other night on Mark 11, and you have to say it to move it. And told you about the name, that the name in a name has the ability to respond to faith. Because everything has a name. You got a name. Everything has a name. That's the way it was set up in the garden. And so it takes faith to do that. But my wife said something last night about Jesus. And they told him about, look at that tree. You remember? She says, look at the tree. Peter said, it dried up by the roots.
Amen.
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 But he just kept on going.
Yeah.
Because he knew it.
He
knew that thing was going to dry up.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The thing it is, do you know it when you speak it? That maybe you can't see what we got to see things in the natural mind. But do you believe when you release your faith that behind the scene there's a whole nother world that you can't see, that God is working in what you've been saying and what you've been believing for?
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it went off in me.
Hallelujah.
It went off in me. Praise God.
Praise
God. Glory be to God.
Glory.
Well, that tree, see, nobody could see unless they had, you know, got in a vision. But when he spoke, they couldn't see under the ground and what was happening. Trees die from the top down, not from the roots up. But he knew that. And then he said, well, this is how, can I say it this way? I'm not cheapening it, but this is the way we roll in heaven. This is the way we do things in heaven. Have the God kind of faith.
Amen.
Have the God kind of faith. Now, I heard a guy, an ignorant preacher, supposed to be a teacher of the word, say, I heard him with my own ear. Can you imagine anybody saying you can have faith like God? And I'm in my car. I'm just flipping, trying to find somebody that would say something good. It's hard to find nowadays, even on Christian TV. Amen. Matter of fact, sometimes I got to go back in my room and repent because I get mad at what they say. There was one guy the other day. My wife said, turn him off. I said, well, it gives me ammunition. You got to know me. It gives me ammunition. He said that the thorn in the flesh, Paul said, he said, God put that on Paul for that when he had these problems, that God could look strong in his life and come and deliver him. Well, what a bully. I'm thinking, what a bully. That God put a cancer on you, put a brain tumor on one of your children. For he could show himself strong and heal it. This guy had 23,000 in his church. You can see, I mean, there's hardly anything to watch anymore.
That's true.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And even some of the faith guys that I've known for years, now they're preaching doctrine that ain't in line with the Word. You know, people can take this grace doctrine and end up, what was that word that I used? It'll end up as a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, no, but that everybody's going to be all right. Universalism, that's what I was saying. And that's where it's going to end. I heard one preacher, Houston, and preaching big conventions and preach faith. And some of the stuff that he said, I said, did I hear? I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, I said, did I hear him right? He said, some of you faith people, you use your faith and you get things, and then you think it was you and you did it by works. You're under grace. It'll just happen. That ain't true. Have you heard anything like that in your church? And it comes back to Matthew 24. And as Dave, how will we know the end time? He said, let no man deceive you. There'll be false prophets, false teachers, false pastors. And my God, are we there now? Have you thought that? I mean, you think, am I the one that's off here? And the Lord said, no. Hallelujah. You think, do I need to get into the group? Do I need to start wearing and dishonor my anointing that's on my life and wear jeans and preach in my jeans? And even now they're going barefooted. The music department's going barefooted. Cheapen. There ain't no anointing. There won't be no anointing. You know, if you don't have no anointing, you got to do something. You got to entertain if there's no anointing. Amen. I've said amen. Praise God. That didn't cost you nothing. That was a little extra. And you that don't like what I'm saying by live stream, just go ahead and text us, and Reverend Jones Jr. will put them in he'll delete it. Praise God. Because they do, you know.
Hallelujah.
Well, getting back to faith.
Amen.
See, all that thing, all that, all this is all about. I said, Lord, what's this all about? I mean, to say that. And I said, so you don't have to believe God. You don't have to do nothing because you're saved by grace. You know, well, that'll go to universal. Before when you know it, even the devil will get saved. Because you're under grace. He's under grace too. That's wrong. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is an act. I said faith is an act. And when you get to heaven, you're also going to be, you're going to be rewarded by your works, spiritual works that you did. Those are your merits. Remember Brother Hagin? He said it was destined by the devil for mom. She had a goiter and that she was going to die. Yes. You remember he there? He said, now, Lord, I've done what you told me. I've done this. I've done that. What was he doing? He was bringing his merits before God. The Bible in Isaiah says, bring your merits.
Yes.
Well, under that doctrine, there's no merits. Yeah, keep it straight. There's grace for the sinner and there's grace for the Christian. Keep it straight. It's very simple. The man even said, I don't know why I got off on this, but the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. He was saying, intercessor prayer is works. That's what he said. Got quiet in here. It ain't works. And he said, then when the answer comes, you think you did it all. Not just obey God in prayer. Hallelujah. Are you at Matthew chapter 11? Amen. He went over there and he talked to the tree. He talked to it. He answered it. Amen. Like my wife brought it out very clear how he answered when he was being tested and tempted. He answered him. Amen. The devil does not like you to answer with the word of God. Get a clue. The way they're preaching under grace, that would be works. Huh? You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to answer. You don't have to pray. You're not doing. I'm telling you, that's what it's leading to more and more. If I'm hearing right what they're saying. Hallelujah. Well, you know, when I was younger, I fell off the lettuce truck a couple times because I was a young boy and my daddy, he used to go to drive all the way to L.A. in this almost a Model A truck flatbed when I was just a kid, and to get lettuce, and then he'd bring it, and then he'd put it in my uncle's store, you know, and my dad worked for a while in the vegetable store. But, you know, I fell off the lettuce truck, but I got smart and quit falling and slipping. Look at me. Don't be a dummy. Don't be a dummy. God give you a noodle. Figure it out, you know, when they're doing it. You know, I tell people all the time, don't be a dummy and follow somebody that don't know God. Run around with somebody that knows God. Many of us ran around those that knew more than we did, knew God more, knew more about the spirit realm for we could learn these things. Hallelujah. And then he got down there and they're passing by. And see, my wife said, see, he already knew that tree. He didn't have to go over there and get a shovel.
Right. Yeah.
That's what a lot of people do. You know what they do? Their tongue is their shovel.
Yeah.
You're a farmer. What do you plant? What do you plant in your farm?
Corn.
Uh-huh. When you plant it, do you go out there maybe 2 weeks and get a shovel and dig it up and see if it's doing anything? See, a lot of you release your faith, and then because you don't see it. See, there's another world. You can't see all the money that belongs to you, but it's out there. But then there's a world behind the scenes, unless you have discerning the spirits to go back and see. You got to believe that what you say, that it's working. It's moving towards you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, go over to John 10. I tell you, when God showed me this many years ago as a young pastor, it blessed me. I'm going to show you how Jesus operated in this. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just what my wife was talking about. Amen. See, faith will produce glory.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
It produced glory with Lazarus.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to show you here where even Christian relatives, if their minds are not renewed, that the devil will use them to tell you why it won't work. They did it to Jesus, so you're no better. Don't shout me down. I'm talking about even church members. I had people tell me when we were in the tent, and I'd say, you see that building out there? I've had people, that building will never come up. One preacher I was helping, and he was telling my people in the church, you know, that building ain't going to come up. No bank's going to loan him money. I found out about it, and I had lunch with him. He said, Dr. Dufresne, I am so thrilled to have lunch with you. I've been trying to have lunch for you for months. And there was a reason why I wouldn't have lunch with him, because he was doubt and unbelief. I wanted to help him mostly because he's a dummy and I wanted to help his family. You know, he's been in church after church, and you know, his ministry has never gotten off because he talks too much. So now he's trying to spread this in my church. That building ain't going to come up. You remember this? And I had lunch with him, and we were eating, and he was talking about all this or that. And I said, well, let me tell you, I got to go to the airport, get on my plane, but in a little bit here, but I want to tell you something. I tell you right now that that building's coming up. And don't you go around telling my people that it ain't going to come up. I invited you in my vineyard to help you, not for you to get in my vineyard and you know, criticize everything I'm doing. You didn't have nothing when you came in here. You've been in the ministry for 30 years. You've been from church. You're like a bandyball. And you drag your family around. I said that building will come up. And within a week, he was gone. He got offended. His family was a great help to us and our children. But see, his mouth. I said his mouth. See, listen, criticizing Brother Hagin, criticizing others, but yet he would go from Rhema Church to Rhema Church. He didn't mind going in their churches, but he was criticizing him. And another thing, you ain't going to criticize my spiritual father. And you just better be glad that I'm saved, because I'd have knocked the hell out of you. I had a young punk came out of Rhema, and we were eating at a table. Now, don't take this away from my preaching time. I'll get to the lesson. Amen. I'm flying around the airport. Amen. And we were eating in Iowa, and it was a little truck stop. You know, it wasn't a real big church. You know, it was medium-sized church. But and this young kid said, "Did you know that Dad Hagin's getting senile?" I was over that table. I pushed my food with my belly. I pushed it over and grabbed him, and I was ready. I was cocked. And I caught myself, because there's preachers all around that table. I said, "Don't you ever say anything about my spiritual father. I want you to know that he set my life free. I got delivered out of religion. And all the things I've learned."
Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I had salad on my time, but I don't care. I was cocked. I just didn't fire. You ever cock your gun? But I didn't fire, but I sure wanted to. And don't come around today and says, "Well, that I've heard this," and you probably too, Reverend Ken, that message of faith is not relevant for today. Have you heard that? Yeah. It's not relevant for today. And I've had Rhema students throw all of Dad's tapes away. I got proof of it that they did, that they were doing that. Because that message is not relevant to this generation. Well, I guess Mark didn't know that. I guess Jesus didn't know that. It's the Bible. It's the biggest bookseller in the whole world. This is God speaking to you and me. You got it? Amen. He meant what he said and said what he meant. He wasn't putting filler in there.
Yes, Dad. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I said, "Amen."
Amen.
Then you got, oh, I'm at John 11, excuse me. Then they said, "Now this represents the glory of God with these smoke guns, smoke machines." I'm not proud of this, so don't hold it to me. I've been redeemed under the blood of Jesus Christ. They had smoke machines when we go into topless places. they'd get it all smoky and the music, and then they had all these different kinds of lights going on, and then they'd stop the smoke and it'd clear up, and there's the girls on the poles. I was in a church the other day. It was just full of that smoke. I went way back into the 60s. I said, that's what they had. I'd rather have the real deal.
Amen. Amen.
Are you at John 11? Now, 1, 2, 3, the lesson starts. Now, a certain man, John 11, 1, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with anointment. She put first things first. And you know those crooks that are around Jesus, like some that are in churches? They wanted to sell it and make money, you know, but... And wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now look what Jesus said. Jesus heard that, and he said. He's answering. If you was here last night, he answered, and he said. Now, what was he doing? He was releasing his faith. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. See, religious people read it, this sickness is for the glory of God. And they put the other side to it that, you know, God put it on them. That the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Now, let me show you in a vision, this is what God said, what showed me. When he said that, he released his faith. Now look at this. Everybody look at me. Look at me. You see this? This is the top of a pen. But I'm going to use it as your faith seed, like Jesus did to that tree. Once you release it, now look at. He said, this sickness is not unto death. He released his faith. Now his faith. See, if you don't you can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't release it, then it can't work. Now, what would I do if I was the enemy? I can't touch that seed; it's holy. The devil can't touch your faith. What would I do if I was the enemy for that seed not to produce, like the tree? It went to the roots of faith and killed that tree. This he's releasing his faith to raise the dead. Remember what my wife, you was in the morning meeting. So what I would do, I can't touch it. I can't dig it up. Nobody else, mother-in-law, dad, or anybody, cannot dig that up because you released it. The only one that can dig it up is you. You're the only one. By what? Well, I guess it ain't going to work. So the devil say, we got to get him to dig up the seed. Now, we can't appear to him, ha, 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 dig up your seed. Get out of here. So he's got to get their surrounding. He's got to get people. Hallelujah. And here he got religious people to get him to dig up that seed. Amen. Hallelujah. The reason I brought out that preacher said it'll never come up. See, I released my faith to that lot that there's going to be a building that's going to come up there. And he's telling people it ain't going to come up. And our congregation, in their kitchens, they invite him over for dinner to help. And he's saying, well, there's no bank because, you know, there's no equity and everything else. Keep your mouth shut. The building's up. Matter of fact, there's another one. It's almost done. So what? Look at this. So if I may say this, the war is on now. Just go ahead. See, what do? You get your heart full of faith and then start releasing it. But this is the other side, like my wife was talking about. Jesus just kept on going. He knew how the system worked. He knew it was going to die up. Do you know what you say will come to pass? Do you really believe that? You don't see it. He doesn't see the blade of the corn. He don't go out there, well, I better dig it up and see if it's got some root. Do you? No, he just knows that it'll produce. Matter of fact, he probably today, they got GPSs there. They can figure how much you can make off of an acre. I know my father-in-law has that stuff. He's semi-retired, but he told me he had a GPS in his tractor, and it can tell you all these kind of deals. So what are they doing? They're already figuring it up. Now, when the crop's in the harvest, we're going to buy a new tractor. See, that's the way you ought to be. You ought to have faith like a farmer. And say, well, we'll just see. Oh, you got to see. In other words, you got to see it first before you believe it.
Right.
Let's find out how the devil tried to get Jesus to dig up that seed. And Lazarus loved Martha and her sister Eliza. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Faith is never in a hurry. It's never nervous. Hallelujah. Then after that saith he unto his disciples, now notice this, let us go unto Judea again. Remember I brought out faith goes, faith moves, faith goes towards the miracle.
Yes.
Let us go. Let's find out what the devil tried to do to stop him. Notice what his staff said. I got your attention. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Thou hast go over there. We got to build this building, and you know how the city is. I heard of a pastor that tried to do that, but they just backed off and shut it down because they didn't want to go through all the stuff. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews have laid out the stone. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. In other words, get a clue. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. He didn't even say death. He knew he was dying. If you that air conditioner, and I'm getting a little wet, and I got to last the rest of the week. So if you'd fix that, guys. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of the sleep. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he'll do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly. You know, Jesus was a plain spoken preacher. Timothy knew that because he charged. But we charge, amen, tell them where they're going wrong. You're charged to do it as a minister. Amen. Don't defraud your anointing that's on your life. Do what it says. And he said, hallelujah. He said, Lazarus is dead. For I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Never let us go unto him. He's going towards the miracle.
Amen.
We were getting ready to build that building. We didn't have no money in the natural, but we did everything to go towards it.
That's right. Amen.
We had enough money where we moved the dirt. We got the dirt ready. But we were in a tent. How long were we in that tent? 3.5 years in a tent. In California, you can do that. I don't think you could do it here. But. Hallelujah. And to me, since I'm the point man, the rain would come. The rain would come down right through the a little stream of water, come right down front of us, you know. One camp meeting we had Pastor Webb preaching for us, and all the bunnies came out from underneath there. We had snakes, we had birds, we had all kinds of things in there. And every one of them were talking to me. When the wind would blow, the flaps on the tent, it would start singing. No building coming up here. But I had my seed in there for that building. And everything will start speaking against you. And we'll find out, even family. I've said even family will speak to you. Hallelujah. Now notice it. Then said Thomas, said unto his fellow disciple, let us also go. Oh, looks like he's got faith. That we may die with him. That we may die with him. Boy, what a staff. That's where we all the time. We want to keep our staff, their mouth right. And the Lord will tell us in the middle of the night many, many times that somebody's talking not right. They're not talking right. You remember the Tower of Babel? He said they're all saying the same thing. They're all in one accord. That's a miracle. Getting a whole bunch of people in one accord, and they're all saying, and he said nothing would be restrained or impossible for them. So he changed their language because they were building it for the wrong purpose. And a staff, y'all got it. What is the visionary? What is a pastor? What is the vision? You say the same thing.
That's right.
And if you're not saying the same thing, then you don't need to be there. They don't need you. So here we're seeing he had to deal with staff. Sound like he had faith. Yeah, let's go, that we may die with him. See, what is he trying to do? He's using staff to get him to dig up that seed.
Right.
Amen. And then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them. Here comes the religious bunch. Concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus. Now listen, the devil will, and staff, you listen to me. You got to watch this, that the devil does not use you to defeat your pastor. Number two, you want to know another killer of faith? Guilt trip. Guilt trip is a big seed digger upper. Amen. Family, everybody else. Hallelujah. I said, I've had family come to me and tell me this. And I said, okay, Miss Holy Ghost. I knew what was wrong. I just, you know, being polite. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When we got married, some of my relatives said, you need to clip that boy's wings. He travels all over the world. He needs to get a job and, you know, get one place and stay at one place. Amen. Because he said, you know, and Stephen, he wasn't going to be raised right because his dad's gone all the time. Oh, is that a trick? Well, both of my sons are not twisted. My oldest son has preached here. We watched him last night because it's 3 hours different. He was preaching Tuesday night at our church. He don't seem twisted to me. Because we obeyed God. Amen. I said, you got to obey God, not relative. Now listen, they could mean right, but they don't realize that they were being, they're bending their ear. See, when you're not spiritual, the devil can still use you. When you're not spiritual and you don't know the voice of God, the devil can use you and you won't even realize you did it. And if you realize it, you'd be ashamed of yourself. What was it, Peter that came up there? What did he say?
Yeah, when Jesus said he was going to be crucified.
That he was going to be?
Crucified. No, not you.
No, not you, sir. He needs to get behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't hurting Peter. He knew Peter was being used. Here's one of his men. Now, he wasn't born again. And he rebuked him. He called Satan. He didn't talk to Peter, but he knew that Peter was being used. Jesus had staff problems. So don't think you're not either. Hallelujah. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that it was Jesus coming, went and met him and said, you know, and Mary was still in the house, and Martha said unto Jesus, oh, we're so glad you're here. Everything's going to be all right. No. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Not even being aware that she was being used of the devil. Remember what my wife said? He knew. He knew that seed would produce. You got to know. Remember the other night when I was preaching? You got to know. Count it all joy when you fall. But knowing this, you got to know this. When you release your faith, don't let anybody, anything talk you out of it until it produces. Amen. You know, grandma come up there. You better dig all that corn up. That don't look like it's coming up. It must have been bad seed or something. That's the same thing that he's doing right here. And here, the staff. Hallelujah. Staff, relatives, family, and religious leaders.
Amen.
And they're saying today, faith, this faith message is not relevant. I'm not listening to that junk. I said, I'm not going to listen to that junk. It is relevant. Actually, Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and told him that the child's going to live. Isn't that right? Child's going to live, and he's going to be a forefront for the last day revival. Well, it was him. He was a point man because he was the father of the faith message. Can I say that safely? He was the father of faith message, but he's not here no more. He went home to be with the Lord. So what does the devil do now in the last 10 years? Kill that message of faith, because that's what's going to bring Jesus back. And kill the Paul. If you don't preach faith, then you're killing the Pauline revelation. And the reason people want to get something where they don't have no problems or anything else is because if you walk in the Pauline revelation, you're going to get buffeted. But remember I brought out the other night. See, that's a message for today. Count it all joy when all these things are happening. Look what's happening in the United States. Look what happened to the Supreme Court today and all this and everybody, oh, no, that's part of the last days, but not in the church. Not in the church. It's going to be lighter and lighter. Amen? Now listen, the more of those, I'm not saying it's right, but more of those nuts get their rights, the more we're going to have our rights.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
If we're going to let them have their lifestyle, and really it's a spiritual thing, it's against the Bible. But then they get their rights. I got my rights. I can preach what I want from my pulpit and what I believe in the Bible. Things are being set up. And it's all going to backfire on the whole bunch. Amen. I said amen. Well, it's the amen. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, Martha said unto Jesus, "Thou, and I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you." She didn't believe that for one second. She's being religious now. I've been around religious faith people. And they operate in faith with mental assent. You know, you can have mental faith. And that's when, if you're operating mental faith, you don't want to throw your medicine away. Amen. And if you're going to operate mental faith, you better have that operation, because you're going to die. It's not mental, it's spiritual. Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection last day." True, but Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." See how he answered? This is what my wife was preaching this morning. Can you see that? See, he's knowing now his seed is working for him. His seed of faith is working for them. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believe in me, though that he were dead, he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou then?" She said unto him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ." That ain't what he asked her. Is that what he asked her? Huh? And he said unto the Lord, "I believe that thou art Christ and the Son of God, which should come unto the world." And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come, and he calleth for ye." There's no record he called for her. There's no record. The devil said, "That didn't work. We'll get his sister." Now, I'm going to go slow with this, because you got to see how subtle the devil is. Amen. God tell a pastor to do something, you'll always have people in the congregation, "Well, pastor, now, you know, that's just too big. I mean, you got 60 people, and you want to build a building three times bigger than that?" See, they're in the natural.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. They're in the natural.
Amen. And really, the devil's using their naturalness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
And Mary says, secretly saying, "The Master has called for thee." And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus was not yet come to the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews, see, here's the religious leaders, and the Jews, them that which were with her in the house, comforted her. And when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, "He goeth under the grave to weep there." You know, religious people, they like to weep around death. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, he saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." There's the old guilt trip. The guilt trips must really work on natural people. Staff, religious people, and family, her relatives.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
"Thou hast been here, my brother had not died." And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Now, that wasn't he was troubled because he's dead, because he knew that his seed is about ready to explode. That seed, that faith seed, is about ready to explode in the glory and push that dude all the way out of that hole that he was in.
Praise God. Praise God.
Dad Summerall, they said that when his wife died, he went in the room where they laid her, and they told everybody to get out. And he cried out to God. He cried out to God, I want her to live. And God said, no, go and finish your course. She's home with me. And they said he groaned a groan. Do you know in the spirit there's a groan of faith that not much people know about? There's a groan in the spirit that only spiritual men and women knew. It was I can't explain it. You can call it travail, you can call it intercession or something, but there is a groan of faith. Oh no, that ain't the way it's gonna be. And cry out to God. Hallelujah. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, I'd have come and see. See, the religious people would always let you go see death. And Jesus wept. He wasn't crying because he was dead. He was crying because of their doubt and unbelief. Here comes the religious people. Then the Jews. Remember my wife was talking about the three different temptations? Here's the same thing right here. Three. And said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, come and see. Jesus wept. And he said, and then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Look at that. He's weeping. Some of them said, could not this man that opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? And Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. And it was a cave, a stone laid upon it. Doll, was you with me when we went to Lazarus' grave? Remember, I think we counted the steps. There's 32 steps. You remember that when we went down? And there was a big cave opening. And then there was round holes where they put dead people in there. Well, that's where he was at. I want you to notice he didn't go down there.
That's right. That's right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I said, are you with me? Now look at the devil. He fighting all the way. Said the Jews, behold how he loved him. He said, and could not this man, Jesus, therefore groaning in himself, came to the grave, and it was a cave. Jesus said, take away the stone, the entrance of that situation, 32 steps. Now, I've meditated over this. I've heard people preach that when he called Lazarus, he came up the stairs like this, you know. He can't. He's bound. It's like a cast. You do a little study in it. You know, I'm not, you know, and great, but when you study how they prepared the dead, in 3 days, it's like a cast. He couldn't bend his knees. He didn't come up that way. He didn't come up that way. I'm telling you, your stuff will show up supernatural. And the devil said, we got to get him to dig that seed. They can't touch it. The devil can't come over and touch your seed. You're the only one that can dig it up. You planted it, you have to dig it up. How do you dig it up? By getting doubt and unbelief in it all. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he had been dead for 4 days. Family, relatives. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Faith can cause the glory of God to show up. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he said, listen to this, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I didn't hear him pray there at where the stone was running, right? Did you hear him pray? All he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I want to ask you a question. When did he hear him? Huh? When he first planted the seed. When he said he won't die, he's dead. But see, remember what my wife was saying? See, he what a relationship with God. See, faith people know God. They walk with God. He said, I thank you that you already heard me a few days before when I said he'll live and not die. Seed is about ready to explode. Are you ready?
Yes.
I said, are you ready?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hast heard me always, but because of the people, and for we'd have record of it today. For we would have record of the day because of the people would stand by and for the future generation that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had said this, he spoke and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Good thing he mentioned his name because there was other people that had names. I mean, there'd been corpse flying all over that place. It's a good thing he was identified. You remember when I was preaching about the name? That a name is respond. It'll respond when it's called to.
Never saw that before. That is good.
And look at that seed exploded and caused the glory. Now look at. I knew that hears me, but I said it to me. And when he had spoken, Lazarus, and he that was dead, not him that was, many that were dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. How could he walk up there? He couldn't see. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. That seed produces the glory. Noel, you come and stand right here and say, Dr. Dufresne, come forth.
Dr. Dufresne, come forth.
Shoo. I'm supposed to say now, take the wrappings off of him.
Take the wrappings off of him.
He didn't walk up there. He didn't jump up there. The glory drove him out like a cannon out of that thing. And that's the way your stuff will come. And it will show up. Bam!
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of God.
It will show up every time for you.
Amen. Well, that's good. That's good.
Glory be to God forevermore. That's why we say, that's why we sell these bands. For you to say, he said, you can have what you say, but you got to say, and it will come to pass. What will come to pass? The very thing that you've been believing for, it will come to pass.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
And our building came to pass. Whoop, here's the building.
It came forth.
Here's the airplane.
Amen.
Here's that, it shows up.
Yeah.
And all three of those categories of people fought us all the way. You see that? That's why he kept on walking. Look at that tree. Look at that tree was withered. He didn't look at the tree. He knew it was withered up.
Amen.
Amen.
He knew. Here's your cap back.
Thank you.
Amen. That's an anointed cap.
Amen.
Did you get something out of this? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I've said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know, it didn't come to pass right away. Well, don't dig up your seed. Listen, I'm moving in some things that even Dad Hagin prophesied over me 30 years ago, and now it's showing up. But I kept it up. It'll all come to pass. It'll all come to pass. We got some old tapes by Dad, right, 59, 60, when they started putting them on reel-to-reel, and some old tapes by him, and he would always say, it'll come to pass. Three years ago, it hit me. No wonder he was saying that. He was talking about that God told him. Remember, he'd go just to Texas, to the borders of Texas. And he said, I'm going to go to that. Then he said, I'm going to go to the other states. Then he said, I'm going to go to Canada. And then he said, I'm going to go all over the world. And it all came to pass. But those three areas, it's very important, staff, that you keep your mouth in line with the pastor's vision. Well, he should do this. Well, he didn't ask you for that opinion. When you're working for somebody else, you don't have an opinion in what he's doing. Now, you can have constructive stuff, ideas that'll help him get that vision done. Amen? Like Brother Jones, Junior. He helps us, and I didn't know Twitter and Facebook and all that. And we're reaching so much more people than we're doing before. But he's a help. Him and his wife are a help. They come to help alongside to do what they're doing. The same rewards I get, they get. They just find their slot, bring their piece of cracker, if you know what I mean, if you was here. We receive communion. And they're bringing their piece to make the whole. If you wasn't here, get the video. It'll help you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Jones Jr., they came over here and they're helping. Hallelujah. Take it to another level. It all adds up.
That's right.
I don't know if I'm helping you or not, but praise God. Can you see how the devil was trying to get him to dig that seed up? He stinketh. The big thing is the guilt trip. You know, leaving your family, you know, he needs to get a decent job. But now I'm a hero in that family situation.
Amen.
The other son-in-laws didn't do too good.
Amen.
This is live stream, you know that, don't you? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 But they seen how my family's been blessed. They see.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if I helped you tonight, but I preached myself happy. You got to know this and see. See, get your heart full of faith. Get it full of the Word of God. And then release your faith. And don't back off from it. That's why we got these things. These are reminders. Like this one here says, and we aren't making any money out of this after you ship them and everything. We want for people to remind us. Say it to move it. It's a reminder. It's like putting a note on the refrigerator to remind you to get milk. It's remind you to keep saying it.
That's right.
It'll all come to pass. See, you got yours on. Praise God. Amen. You got that used to be mine, but he hit me over the head and took it away from me. I told him I had one out on the table. He said, no, I want the one you're wearing. I said, all right. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Did you get help?
Yes, sir.
You pastors, you get a hold of this and watch the three ways how he tried to get Jesus to dig that seed up. Just like Tim, there's three ways of temptation, three ways that he tried to get him. The guilt trip's a big one. That guilt trip is a man. Amen. Have you ever had a congregation tell you, you don't have no love here?
Oh.
I have enough love to rebuke you. I have enough love for you to grow up. I have enough love. Now, you preachers, you listen to me. What did the Bible talk about? If you love me, you'll what? You'll what? You'll feed my sheep. The thing it is, the feeders today ain't feeding nothing. You go into the trough and there ain't nothing in there but silliness, junk, worldly stuff. These preachers here that I know, they love the sheep. They love God. If you love me, feed my sheep. Don't entertain them. Don't give them junk, but feed them the Word of God. And knowing this, that there'll be three out of the four that won't even know what you're talking about. So we eliminated them in our church. You know how we did that? We prayed for the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold to come. Instead of the fugitives that don't want to be disciplined and taught. Can you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we have a standard. And I'm always keeping that devil trying to break that standard. I'm going to keep that standard. In my dress, in the way that we do things, in every area of our life. The more casual you get in your life, including dress, you'll start being casual in other things and you'll keep going down and down and down and down. And remember this, when you come down on your standard, those people that are on you, under you will come a little bit under you and their standards will come down. We don't get up and tell people how to dress to come to our church, but they get full of the Word of God and then you see a change in them and you, because of our standard.
Amen.
Don't shout me down because I'm preaching. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And you got to stay on top of it.
Amen.
Amen. It'd be a lot easier in California for me that when I have my flip-flops on and my shorts, and I'm not going to go in there and take a shower and get cleaned up. It takes an effort to bring honor to a church. It takes an effort. Instead of just, I know when there's people that, and I tell people, come in your work clothes, because many of them travel for an hour away when they're working. But come and be honorable to God on that sense. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah forevermore.
Glory to God.
Well, give him a shout. Give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God forevermore. You know, minister husbands and ministers' wives, be careful what you're saying to your spouse. Am I being used of the devil? Or am I being used of God to encourage them and help them? Many ministries destroyed because the devil got an ear of a spouse. And one day they have to answer to God for destroying that man, that, and being used. Sure is quiet in this Presbyterian fellowship. I know it's a little different tonight. Every night's been different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the Lord said, now teach. See, when I was going through a heavy trial, he said, now you teach them that's the way what they're believing for will show up. Boom, then there it is. And he was underground. You couldn't see the corpse. But then it came. Boom. And he said, that's how your stuff will show up. That's how your buildings, your equipment that you need for whatever you're anointed, you got to supply to it. But the devil will fight, every devil in hell will fight you to try to keep and use those three areas. People have told us and left the church, if you would lighten up on your message, you would have a bigger church. I said, I will not do that. I'm interested in you, not just filling seats up. And say, I have a church of, I have a church of 15,000 and they're all fugitives. I wouldn't tell everybody that. And if you last a year at World Harvest Church, you can tell you're starting to grow because the word. And you don't want to admit that you're one of those other three kinds of dirt. Do what? Yeah, that's right. I made a choice. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Would you like this, what I read, to remind you? And hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We love you, sir. We believe in you. And that's my message. I don't have anything else. I don't have operating in the gifts or anything. I wouldn't want to do it in the flesh. But the Lord said, deliver that tonight in incense with what my wife preached this morning. You won't see it, but it will show up. Money will show up that way. It'll show up. It'll come. It'll show up. Just don't dig your seed and say, well, I wonder where it's going to come from. Well, if you know the Bible, you know you have a supply. That's where it's going to come from. And there's going to be somebody in here that they'll be obedient. Do you know if everybody was spiritual, every one of us would have all the money that we need because they would obey God and do what God told them to do. So you got to be patient. God told me I went over 100 Christian businessmen to buy you an airplane, cash. One man, he didn't do it because he disobeyed God, but he got into other businesses he shouldn't because he disobeyed God. He's in prison for 40 years now. See, the disobedient open doors for other things. God, you know what I'm talking about. And he said, he said, you go ahead and borrow the money to buy that airplane. He said, but I'll take care of it. I'll pay for it. He has been paying for it every month. Because people are not spiritual. You know, God could tell you, give Dr. Dufresne $1,000. I rebuke you, devil. I mean, right away. You know. You don't give Pastor Leketiket $5,000. Oh, my goodness, that's a lot of money. Now, God wouldn't tell you that and then punish you for giving it. He's going to bless you. You got to see that. Who is it that tells you to hold back your tithes? Huh? Because the one you're tithing to needs that money. And find out how that works out for you. Huh? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I got a son that tithes to me and his ministry, him personally, has turned around completely. And the Lord dealt with him. He said, now when you have your Wednesday night service, count the tithes that came in. Now his tithes should go to his church. I'm not talking about his tithes. I'm talking about the tithes of the church. You know, when it comes in, he said, that next day, send it to Dr. Dufresne. Watch out. Get it in the ground as soon as you can. Don't add it up until the end of the month. And I could go into my mailbox Tuesday and I'll know I'll have a check from that Sunday morning. And the reason people don't do that is because they got problems with it. Now, you understand your tithe goes to your local church, but every church should tithe. I know my denomination, they don't believe that. I do know this, that my spiritual dad could still be alive today if all the Rhema students would have tithe to Dad Hagen. When they came out of school and started their churches, he wouldn't have had to go out there as much to pay the bills. He would have been all taken care of. He could have had his healing school. He could have had his healing rooms. That's right. Exactly. That's but perfect. Somebody didn't believe that you should do that. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about somebody else. And you know something? Many of us are going to have to answer to God. He went home to be with the Lord, and God answered his prayer. Every bill was paid when he went home to be with the Lord on his watch.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't believe that. Well, I can be bold enough because I was just challenged tonight to be bold. We'll find out how that works out for you. Right here.
Amen.
How to, what? Do what? Yeah, I gotta go over here. These girls, they know good preaching when they sit right there, honey. Say, that's good preaching, Dr. Defray. Thank you. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. That's my message, and may my fruit remain, Pastor.